ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं सतोचयमुदीरयेत्। Read from Srimad Bhagavatam 9, Canto 14, Chapter, Text 38. Vidyalika Vishrambham Agyeshu Yakta Sauridaha Navam Navam Abhipsantya Humshchalya Svairya Vrittaya Vidyalika Vishrambham Vidyalika Vishrambham Akeshu Takta Saurida Akeshu Takta Saurida Navam Navam Abhipsantya Navam Navam Abhipsyanta Humshchalya Svaira Vrittaya Humshchalya Svaira Vrittaya Vidhaya by establishing Alika false Vishrambam faithfulness Akyeshu, unto the foolish man. Tyakta Saurida, who have given up the company of well-wishers. Navam, nu. Navam, nu. Abhipsyantya, desiring. Pumshchalya, women very easily allured by other men. Svaira, independently. Vrittaya, professional. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Urvasi speaking, Urvasi to Maharaj Puru Rava, great king of the Soma Vamsa. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man. Therefore, a polluted woman give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends, one after another. Purport. Because women are easily seduced, the Manu Samhita enjoins that they should not be given freedom. A woman must always be protected, either by her father, by her husband, or by her elderly son. If women are given freedom to mingle with men like equals, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of a woman, as personally described by Urvasi, is to establish false friendship with someone and then seek new male companions, one after another, even if this means giving up the company of a sincere well-wisher. Vidyalika vishrambam yageshu dyakta sauridaha navam navam abhipsyantya pumshchalya svaira vrittayaha. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends, one after another. Omakyatim ranyasya kiranchana salakyam chakshurun militam yena tasma shikrave namaha. Hare Krishna. So these words are spoken by Urvasi. She is actually an apsara from Svargaloka or Gandharva Loka. Gandharva Loka, and also in Svarga, in the kingdom of Lord Indra, there are many society girls. Pumshchalya. Sometimes I translate it as prostitute. The society girls who are meant to give pleasure to the kings. They're actually from higher order, higher, not low class prostitute like nowadays. So they're very highly elevated, they're practically aristocratic. So they're very pure. But also they have, like everyone in the material world, from upper planets, Brahmaloka, Indraloka, what to speak of earth planets, what to speak of other regions in this big Brahmanda universe. Everyone has desire, lusty desire to enjoy. Therefore we are in this material world, because we want to be Purusha. Purusha means enjoyer. Not only the man wants to be Purusha, but woman also Purusha. That's the problem. Both are into enjoyment. Forgetting that there's only one Purusha, one supreme enjoyer, supreme lord, and master, and husband, and guru, and everything, friend, well-wisher. Everything, it's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Krishna is considered the best friend in all rasas, in all kinds of relationship. Therefore, is Madana Mohan, is all attractive. He can attract even Cupid, Kamadev. In the material world, everyone is hit by the five arrows of Kamadev. You know, Kamadev has five arrows on his sugarcane bow. He's releasing five arrows, shooting to the eyes, ears, mouth, feelings, like that. So he's agitating everyone with these arrows, makes them mad. Unam pramata. Kurutevi karma, yadindriya pritaya aprinoti. So he makes everyone pramata. Therefore, he's also pramata, because he makes everyone mad. So Urvasi, when she heard from Lord Brahma that there is this very nice prince from the Soma Vamsa, son of Buddha, son of moon god, is Buddha. Buddha with 1D, not 2D. It's not Buddha. Buddha. With 1D. And Ila. Therefore, the son became known as Ayla. Ayla is another name. Pururav is Ayla. In the 11th canto, 26th chapter, we can read about Ayla Gita, spoken by Lord Krishna. There's Uddhava Gita. He speaks to Uddhava, the great soul, about Ayla. That means Pururav, who was great king. He greatly lamented. He was so much attached to the beauty of Urvasi. Because it was actually Urvasi who chose him, not he, her. As far as Bhagavatam is reporting, Urvasi felt attracted just by hearing about him. Because that's Vedic. Woman doesn't go directly, or very rarely, directly to the man, asking, please, will you marry me? That's not a Vedic standard. So she heard from Brahma, and it's through Brahma, and Urvasi heard about description about this powerful man, the best of the kings and men in this world, who is coming from the Soma Vamsa, great dynasty in this universe of great kings, Vedic kings. So she thought, oh, this is a good try. It's a good object of enjoyment for me. So she got the permission to go to be with Pururava for some time. Not for too long. Because she is from other world. She is from Svarga planet. So she is not a human being, ordinary. Like Pururava. Pururava is a human being. So to marry a human being who is a man, marry an apsara who is from higher world, who is like an angel, it's not a good combination. Will sooner or later be a problem. Even in this material world, the sages say, if a woman is too beautiful, too much angelic in her appearance, very beautiful and attractive, she becomes enemy. She becomes enemy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, I remember now, Prabhupada's father, when Prabhupada should marry, there were two girls available. One was a beautiful one, other one was not so beautiful. My father, he thought, because he had a big plan for his son, he didn't want him to learn in university in England. Others wanted to send him there, that he will learn some nice profession, lawyer, because that was very trendy, very fashionable at that time. In Calcutta, where the British resided. That was always a program to bring the elite of the cream a la cream from the Bengali youth, you know, to England to teach them. So that they become nice brainwashed and could bring something nice English culture to India. But his father, Prabhupada's father, didn't want like that. So he thought, now my son, I don't want to send him to this place, England. He should stay here, even if he's not so full, even if he's not well educated, he will survive somehow. And he also had an idea, he should not marry the beautiful girl. He should marry the one who is lesser beauty. Because in this way, he will not fall too much in love and too much attracted to her. And easily, when the time comes, he can take sannyas. If you have a beautiful woman and a lovely woman, it's very difficult to give up to take sannyas. It's very, very, very difficult. For Shastra also says, if you don't have a loving mother in your home and a caring, loving wife, if they are not available in your home, better you leave that place and go to the forest. Don't stay there. But if the woman is very caring, mother side and wife side, it's very difficult to give up. So everyone is conquered by the beauty and also emotion and care and love and affection of the wife, woman. Therefore, everyone, Prabhupada told, should be married. All women should be married. Every man should be married, especially the woman, so that she can have a good husband trained as a nice brahmachari. He who is a good brahmachari will become a good husband. Prabhupada also used to say, the training of brahmachari is needed. Therefore, everyone was first sent to Gurukula to learn the art of austerity, tapasya, learning, sense control, mind control. Then, later on, when the time will come, when they're ready, they can marry, or they can stay always in brahmachari. Two kinds of brahmacharis, they are the naishtika and the one who will marry. So the brahmachari school is there, you know, to become trained, to become a good grihastha. That's the normal stage, step by step. Rarely somebody goes from brahmachari to sannyas. That's the great souls who are, can do such a step and make such a decision. Of course, it is good for them because they already trained in sense of mind control. So if they, it's easy for them to take sannyas. It's not much different. It's only the symbol is the stick is there, Maharaj, the danda and the vow. Of course, when is more determined then, because then there's no go back. Chewing the jute, then one has to stay and go the path. Actually, in Katha Upanishad, one of the most beautiful Upanishads, one of the famous, there's a nice story of how Yamaraj was instructing Nachiketa. Maybe you heard Nachiketa. His father actually sent him to hell because his father, he was a brahmana, he was a little kripana. Instead of giving nice cows to the brahmanas as a donation, he gave them stale cows, you know, old and without milk and without calves. So his son Nachiketa asked him, "Father, to whom you like to give me next? Maybe you also will give me away. Because if you give all cows to brahmanas, to whom you will give me your good son?" Father first ignored, and then he three times he repeated. Then father got angry. Brahmanas easily get angry. So he told him, "You should go to the Lord, to the house of death, to Yamaraj, Yamaloka." So, okay, he was a surrendered son. Father is like guru, so he accepted that. So he went to Yamaraj, and to Yamaraj, he was not there for 3 days. He was not there, so he fasted. No eating, no drinking. So, after the third day, Yamaraj comes and he sees, Brahmana is in my house here. And he's fasting and no drinking, and I'm very sorry. How can I serve you? I want to give you a blessing. So I ask, you can have 3 blessings. One of the blessing is he he thought about the welfare of his father. Please make my father peaceful again, so that in case I will go back to him, that he will receive me with open arms. Like Prahlad Maharaj also had his first, when he was sitting on the lap of Nrisingadev, that was his first wish. Please make my father peaceful, Shanti, and that he will lose his enviousness against the Vaishnavas and Vishnu. Yeah. His animosity, make him peaceful, Shanti, huh? That he will give up his enviousness, jealousy. Second was he wanted to have a process how he can attain liberation. Svargaloka. Svargaloka in this term means Vaikuntha. So Dharmaraj or Yavaraj, he gave him this process and blessings. But when he heard the third blessing, he told, no, sorry, ask something else. Arrange you a nice wife if you like, many cows, many opulences, positions somewhere as a ruler in the world. But don't ask me for the third blessing, what is going on in the liberated stage. Because Atma Vidya, the knowledge about the soul in the spiritual world and the Supreme Lord and the devotional service, what is going on there eternally, is a secret. It's confidential. And so he tested him. Of course, Nachiketa, he didn't want to have material blessings, so I only want to know about that. I want to attain that spiritual kingdom, the world of liberation. Please tell me what is going on there. So then Yamaraj was satisfied, and he told him, actually, your desire is very rare, because most of the people, they have desire for prayers. That what gives immediate pleasure on the tongue or on the skin. And so on. They have no interest for Shreyas, for the long ultimate pleasure. But actually the attempt should be made to attain Shreyas, because the prayers is very short, this little lifetime as a human being. Someone should go for Shreyas. So I'm very pleased that you go for Shreyas. But I tell you, my dear son, this path to the spiritual kingdom of the Lord, who is known as Dharma, Vishnu, Mahapurusha in the spiritual world, is the supreme goal of life. To attain that realm of the Lord, that realm is very troublesome to go. There are many tests. There are many obstacles on that path, and it is like sharp like a razor's edge. Little unattentive on that path, you know, immediately you're cut. So one has to be very focused. And he gave a very nice example of the body like a chariot. Audible? The body is the chariot. The living entity, the jiva, is the sitting in the chariot. The five horses are the senses. The reins of to control the horses to go in proper directions is the mind. And the driver is the intelligence, buddhi. So now when buddhi is not clear, bahushaka, then the five horses go, they will run in all different directions. The mind gets loose. So therefore the buddhi has to be in control. Higher than mind is buddhi. Higher than buddhi, intelligence, is the unmanifest. the Mahatattva, and higher than the Mahatattva is the Paramatma, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller. And if the intelligence is fixed, focused on that Supreme Controller, then automatically the mind becomes peaceful, sober, dhira, and can be focused on to attain that goal. By sense control, mind control, the horses, the senses will not run in different directions. They will also be focused with the mind, working together with the buddhi, with the intelligence, to attain the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above the transcendental realm. He is above the material world. He is Param, Paramatma. So to attain that abode, one has to be very focused and lose your mind and your intelligence by fixing it on the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada so many times he told us, long we are not attracted to the beauty of Radha and Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Shisi Gonitai, and even the pure devotees. Although sometimes a pure devotee seems to be old, he's actually never looking old. He's always young and fresh and very aliving, very attractive. So it is advised to put the attention on the beauty of the Lord and the devotees and this association. One can easily control the mind and the senses and remain fixed in devotional service. That is the path where the devotees are going. The path of Pururava and others, this Karmakandya. Karmakandya means sense gratification, do pious work, and have nice family life and sense gratification, do yagya, get always the blessing to go on like that, life after life. And only after long, long time, maybe one becomes fortunate, become purified, comes to jnana. Bahunam chanmanamante, in that verse, Krishna says, only after thousands of lifetimes, somebody who is in karma, karma, comes ultimately to jnana, and from jnana only very rarely becomes Krishna Bhakta. So Lord Chaitanya advises his devotees by the teachings to Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhakta Nishkama, Ateva Shanta, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, Sakali Ashanta. We should follow in the footsteps and associate with devotees. Who are nishkama, who have no material desire, who have no selfishness, no false ego. Don't associate with Strisanga, Krishna Bhakta, and Asadhu, because this is the path to hell. Actually, Kapila Dev, I have to read it. It's from third canto. He makes in the 31st chapter in describing the, I would say, the ways of the conditioned soul and how they, although they attain the human form of life, how they fall victim of women and family and sense gratification and gliding down to hell again. So 31st chapter, text 35, Kapila Dev to his mother Devahuti, he's saying, the infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond or attached to women. Actually, this is even more worse. To be attached to an unchaste woman is worse. And to be attached to those who are attached to such women, that's the worst of all. That's the definite way to hell. Kapila Dev continues 36. At the sight of his own daughter, even Brahma was bewildered by her charm, the charm of his daughter, Vak. That's a problem. It starts with Vak, with the words, sweet words, whispering of the words and flattering and beautiful words of woman. Who will not fall victim and fall in this Maya? Even Brahma was running after Vak, his daughter, who was very beautiful, speaking very eloquently. So even Brahma became bewildered by her charms and shamelessly ran up to her in the form of a stag, because as Brahma he could not do it. He took the form of a stag, a male deer. It's a stag, So he's running after her. Like some brahmanas want to have sense gratification with some woman, some illicit, they will not do it in the human form, they take a form of an animal. They have these powers, they can change bodies, they have these mystic powers. But only for sense gratification. Even brahmanas, sages, have this tendency. Brahma also, the supreme Brahmana, creator of this universe, the supreme intelligent Kavi. And then she took the form of a hind, that means female animal, and he was running after her. Later on he regretted, because nothing happened. He found out, that's what I'm doing. Fool, wake up, and he gave up that body, and that became also manifested in some twilight, I think, some foggy situation in the world. Amongst all kinds of living entities begotten by Brahma, namely men, devatas, and animals, none but the sage Narayana is immune to the attraction of Maya in the form of a woman. Kapila Vacha. Then he speaks his famous verse. Palam me pasya mayaya stri mayaya chayino disham yakaroti patakrantam bruvi chimbrena kevalam. Just try to understand the mighty strength of my Maya in the shape of a woman who by the mere movement of her eyebrows can keep even the greatest conquerors of the world under her grip. So this Narayana Rishi example by Lord Kapila Dev is very interesting. Because Urvasi is a manifestation of Narayana Rishi. How? How is it possible? 11th canto, 4th chapter, one of the Navayogendras, he narrated the story of different avatars and also of Narayana Rishi. Great ascetic. They're high in the Himalayas. They have ashram there. They're twins, sons of Murti. So they take up tapasya for the well-being, benefit of the whole universe. So it became very powerful. Indradev, he got anxious. This sage is so powerful. If he gets too powerful, I have to be scared about my heavenly position. So he sent Kamadev with society girls, with all kinds of Kamadev girls from her group, alluring people with his bow and arrow, famous with the five arrows, and with the springtime, Vasant, beautiful smells of the flowers and the wind, pleasant wind, appearing there in the ashram of Narayana Rishi. And he thought, Kamadev was confident with the mission and with the instruction of Indra and with his blessings. Everyone became victim of me. I'm so attractive. Nobody can conquer me in this world. But so this Narayana sage, I will also allure and attract, and that he will give up his vows and his determination to perform tapasya. So he tried. But Narayana, he was just smiling. And he manifested from his own energy a whole group of more beauties than all the beauties Kamadev manifested. So now they all became like glowworms in comparison with the beauties created by or manifested by Narayana Rishi. So Narayana Rishi understood, oh, the demigods, these apsaras and Kamadev, they become bewildered, they feel completely paralyzed. Normally, Kamadev paralyzes everyone by his appearance and makes everyone mad, but now they become mad because, actually, they became shocked because they thought, oh, we are the most beautiful one. But then now there's so much more beautiful girls. Now Narayana Rishi says, my dear Kamadev, don't be shocked. Come to consciousness again. I know your mission and who sent you. Please choose one of these girls here that I manifested, and you can bring him as a present, as a gift to Indradev. So they choose Urvasi. Urvasi is actually a manifestation of Narayana Rishi from his internal energy. The most beautiful of all the apsaras. Very powerful, beautiful, most beautiful girl. So they brought her to Indra as a gift. Greetings from Narayana Rishi from the Himalayas. So Indradev became shocked. He became so shocked that he thought, oh, what an offense I made. And he with great hesitation, accepted Urvasi in his palace and in his kingdom amongst the apsaras. So she became one of the leaders, the most beautiful. Indra was very much attached to her. And especially this Urvasi now felt some temporary attraction to Pururav. But then she gave him up because of a slight mistake. So he gave her up, and because Indradev had separation from her, he wanted to have her back. So there was some trick. And poor Pururav became the victim. Especially he, the greatest of Kshatriyas, powerful man, most beautiful man in the world at that time. He became a victim of that. My wife left me. My wife left me. Many times men leave. But the wife now left because of a slight mistake. He was a little unattentive. And immediately she gave him up. And he became mad because he was so much attached to his wife. He became completely mad. He lost his senses and he could not be pacified. He wanted to have her back. But it was not so possible. So one time she revealed and she told Pururav, my dear, don't be so trustworthy to this woman species. Because don't you know how much cruel that can be? And this woman is saying, I'm not saying. Woman Uvacha. Urvasya Uvacha. That can be very cruel. That can be become very ill meanings, and easily can reject somebody. Then this is the last verse today from her words. Where she says, where is it? Women are very easily seduced by men, therefore polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establishes false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends one after another. So she is speaking about the mentality of women. And this was in Treta Yuga. End of Satya, beginning of Treta. So there already, so this tendency of woman was seemingly described. What to speak of today in Kali Yuga? Of course, we cannot blame the woman or women in general. It's man and woman, because the attachment always needs two. And to become angry and cheating each other, flattering each other, needs two. So, actually both are cheater and be cheated. In this material world, because we are in this material world, since time immemorial, running after this desire of enjoying the senses by karma, lust and greed. And this is the enemy of this world, and as long as we cannot conquer this enemy of lust and greed, we will always be angry, krodha, we will be in illusion, we will be frustrated, and we will fall in miserable conditions of life, lose completely our intelligence and the goal of life, and become mad. Hopelessly lost in this whirlpool of material existence. So therefore, only by mercy of Guru and Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasadibai, but can wake up, come to the senses, and focus our mind and Krishna with great determination and engage in his devotional service. Only if one is very fortunate, one can receive a taste, the higher taste. We always say the higher taste, parantrishva nivartate. Only with the higher taste we can give up lower taste. As long as we don't receive taste in loving devotional service, in bhakti, pure bhakti, to lotus feet of Radha Krishna under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees, following Srila Prabhupada and following Lord Chaitanya Nityananda line. So we cannot become blessed. So we have this nice opportunity to become attached to Krishna's lotus feet, accept shelter, Sharanagati, fully in him, under the guidance of Spiritual Master and Vaishnavas, and become attached to Vaishnava. Say Krishna to Uddhava, when he narrated the story of Aila Gita, in the 11th canto, 26th chapter, he described how Aila was not pacified. Although Urvasi spoke these words about woman nature, he still could not give up the attachment. His desire was still there. Therefore, next verse, then she agrees, okay, we can meet us one time in a year in Kurukshetra and have some union, and only one time. But one time, in 1 year, this is nothing for somebody who is very much attached,
So ultimately, Purura was not very satisfied at all. And he was always meditating about Urvasi. But ultimately, in the Aila Gita, Krishna describes how Aila started to lament about his own position, about his foolishness, how he became cheated by his own wife, how he became a victim, and how, but actually he didn't blame her, he blamed himself, that I fool, although I'm Pururav, I'm a great conqueror, I'm very knowledgeable, I have so much in my power, but I surrendered to her fully. I had full faith in her. This is my foolishness. And from that short enlightenment he got, he received the mood of detachment, vairagya, and he could ultimately fix himself on the supreme goal and attain that supreme goal, Vishnu Loka, the spiritual world, where there's no coming back. And Krishna to Uddhava, he concludes, there's no other way to attain that spiritual world and attain auspiciousness than to associate with devotees. The devotees are not different from me. They're my representatives. So if there's no greater goal in life and riches in life than the association with devotees. Then the association with devotees in favorable way, hearing and chanting and remembering each other about Radha Krishna and about devotional service in practical way, it's the greatest gift. It's the greatest mercy, and by appreciating this mercy, one actually has the darshan and the presence of the Lord all the time. Krantaraj Sima Pakatam Ki Chai Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Any question, maybe? Yeah. No comment? We always have good comments.
We hear in Bhagavad Gita that you should be balanced, you know, not too much sleep, not too much eating, maybe not too much attachment. I mean, isn't there some balance in this process? So you don't become to the extreme, you know, fanatical sannyasi or something.
Wow. Even sannyasis, they eat nicely. We grihasthas, we're sometimes very poor, you know, not so much on the plate, you know. If a sannyasi goes in some place, you know, he gets so many nice offerings, you know, a big plate, you know, so many varieties. So if you want to eat more, you know, become sannyasi. Actually, Krishna Prasadam is very good. It's medicine. It's Krishna himself. But we should not overeat. Otherwise, we are expending more our body than the movement. Mission is to expand the movement, not just the body, and the family, and have nice life like that. Prasadam is a secret weapon. Of course, after some time, we're getting older, we should not eat so much anymore, naturally, so we eat less. I guess when you were younger, you ate much more than now, no? Same? Huh? Yeah, you're a power man, you know. Because who can make such a job, you know, managing such a temple, so many meetings, and... Yeah, you have to eat a lot because you also engage it. Body is like a car, you know. If a car only drives a little, it doesn't need much fuel. But if it is very fast and very works very much, the car, then he burns more, you know. So therefore, whatever we eat, you burn it by devotional service. You know best how much you need. And burn it in devotional service. Then that's perfect. Don't eat less, because I saw devotees who eat less, they go on diet, all kinds of diets nowadays. They try this and that and that and that. I don't mention now the different diets, what they're doing. And they become very convinced and very determined in that. And they lose even weight, you know, but also they lose energy. And they cannot do anything anymore. They just become like dry out vegetables. No energy anymore. Therefore I say, eat, you know, and engage it in Krishna service, and Krishna will protect you.
Devotee Kapil is chanting 16 rounds for many years, initiated. But after several years, the wife says that, you know, I cannot be chaste. My training, past training, I was not trained to be chaste in my life, in school, in college, in workplace. There was no training of chastity. So, although I'm chanting and trying to be devotee, I cannot be chaste. The wife says this openly. So what should the husband do? Should he leave her and go to the forest or join the ISKCON temple or become live a peaceful life, just leave the wife? Or should he just carry on with this unchaste wife because, you know, there is no option? What should he do? And there are children also.
Anyway, Prabhu, this is a very delicate question, and your wife maybe will hear it, and your children, so it's...
No problem, you can give the answer.
They will become very upset and angry on you, and maybe will chase you out, you know, and say, okay, you can go, take sannyas in Vrindavan, you know, let's see how long you will stay there. Maybe you're happy in a few months to come back, you know, to our house again.
You please give an honest answer. Please give a clear answer. What should such a person do as per Shastra and as per practical modern life, both ways?
This is my answer. Don't be fool, don't be crazy fellow and take sannyas or run away from home. It's your duty. Especially your Hindu, faithful Hindu, Vaishnava, so you should be very patient. And exemplary to your wife, and if your wife sees that you are actually not a fanatic, you are a normal person, you are a gentle person, you are happy in yourself and satisfied in yourself, and she also wants that. And very soon, with the time, she will see these other pleasures what she is seeking, you know. It's not give her inner happiness and satisfaction. And after all, we all want to be satisfied and happy. Because without satisfaction, there is no happy. And without happiness, there is no Krishna consciousness, there is no blessing. So you as Vaishnava, or aspiring Vaishnava, let's say, should give an example. Try to make progress in devotional service. Stay in your home. Stane, stita. Lord Brahma says, don't leave your home. Perform your duty. Perform your activities in devotional service. Your activities in obligations to your family. Children, because you also have children, definitely you should not leave. You should be peaceful and happy and make a little compromise also. Give a little satisfaction to your wife. Don't be a fanatic now. Because you are still young, she is young. Don't destroy your family life and then later on you regret. Tika? Any other question? Can we stop? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, Granta Arsima Bhagatam Ki Jai. Swami Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki.